Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I'm Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay. What an episode. What did you think?
I feel like I'm not ready for for hometowns. I watched this whole episode and I was like, I kept trying to add up all of the different ways that we got to this place. And none of it equals hometowns next week. I feel like the only person I actually know is Jesse Palmer.
Right. I do feel like this episode was supposed to make us feel more connected to everybody. But even, you know, even Gabby, I feel like Gabby said it. She's like, what's this going to be? You know, I don't know. I don't feel like I for Rachel, I guess I see kind of what's going to go down, but for Gabby, I don't see what's going to go down. Like, I don't know if that's, I don't feel comfortable meeting their parents. Do you know what I mean?
I was still fumbling over their names while I was watching the episode, talking to like my friends that were over. I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm like, I can't believe that we're usually by this point when we get to hometowns, I know everything about them. I can like, you know, I know too
much. I care about people in a way that I don't really care about these guys now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know. There's also been, like, you know, the lack of drama. Like, it just feels like we're going through the motions a little bit. Like, even this episode was like, it had all the beats of a Bachelorette episode, but I don't know I didn't feel like I knew anyone better or felt excited about any relationship.
Yeah, I think I this goes into our titles or whatever, which we'll get into later. But I just feel like there's so much. We're supposed to get so much more from all of this because there's two bachelorettes, but it feels like
we got less.
Yeah,
you know, like we keep splitting the pie up. You get just a little piece. You know, it's just, I don't know. I guess let's get into it. Let's get into the synopsis of the episode.
Okay. So Gabby takes Nate on a breakup date where she sends him home in the first few minutes.
Zach gets a second one-on-one with Rachel and expresses that his love is blooming.
We then see Gabby's group date where sexual tensions are high, but it's cut short because Logan gets COVID. If only he was sent home last week.
And Rachel finally has a group date that gets a little cheesy and ends in Tino being a baby back bitch.
And we finish the episode by finding out who will be going to hometowns already. So I almost named the episode Baby Back Bitch because first of all, I don't know who said that. They like panned down.
I went
back and watched it this morning to try and find out and I couldn't figure it out.
I thought it was Tyler, the Jersey.
Yeah.
Boardwalk guy. Yeah, I thought it was him. It also came out of nowhere. Like, it's almost like he was waiting to say baby back bitch.
Yeah. Like, it felt like a planned thing. Like, he was, like, waiting for everybody to get quiet to say the joke. He's like, okay, this is the time.
Right, and there's been so little drama that no one's been enough of a baby to be a baby back bitch. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like this usually happens in episode one where someone, you know, is trying to get their catchphrase in there. And this kind of felt like he missed his opportunity. He's like, oh, shit, I got to get a baby back bitch in there because
I got to work this in.
Right. There were no ribs. There was no barbecue sauce. They're not in a barbecue area of America, you know.
You're not
like,
even on screen. You're not even on screen to get the credit. Like, I truly didn't know who said this until you told me right now. I thought it could have been Ethan. don't know.
Maybe it was. I just assumed it was Tyler because Tyler also looks like he would say the cheesy line, baby back bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, and then it made me want to go to like Chili's. It made me think of like, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. Chili's, baby back, bitch. Right? Like, and like also, Tino wasn't overreacting. Tino was like, I didn't think his reaction
reacting,
on the.
And I think they were, the stakes aren't as high for them, or they were just like, whatever, man, it's chill. Like, let's just keep going.
Maybe that's why we're like left not really like with much here, because it doesn't feel like anyone's into this.
No.
It feels like the guys are like, yeah, if we end up together, we're cool. It feels like Gabby especially just feels like she wants a boyfriend more than anything. Like, Rachel kind of gives off, I want Cinderella story energy, but Gabby definitely just is so normal that it kind of, I don't know. I need her to be abnormal to have fun.
It feels
with
too
her
real with Gabby. It feels too real, which is crazy because we want this to be real and we make fun of it when it's not, but Gabby's feels too real, like the whole breakup, but we'll get into that. So what did you title the episode?
I called meeting a mom doesn't mean becoming a mom.
Yeah.
Like, because, and it was always weird, Gabby's description of becoming a mom. I don't know. It just was like something about the way Gabby talked about it. I was like, you're not going to be a mom. Like, I know you're going to be a mom, but like,
it's not.
Chill out, dude.
Especially if you're just like meeting them. I understand that that's a big deal. I totally hear that, like meeting someone's child, introducing that, like, I get it. But this doesn't mean you're going to, you have to take him and be like, okay, you're the one that I'm choosing, etc. Right. Like, you're just meeting them.
I guess, you know, her point, I guess, was to say, I'm not ready to be a mom, so I'm not going to go like forward with this. Mm-hmm. And why would, and I do understand that, like biting off more than you can chew. I don't know. It was a little bit of a surprise, I guess, but we'll get to that. What was the name you gave this?
So what we talked about before, I saw this girl on Twitter. She was tweeted something about, she was like, we were supposed to get double everything and it feels like we got half. So I said, double the girls, half the fun.
Right.
Because I feel like that's what we've gotten. I feel like I know half of everything that I usually know when I was expecting a lot more. Even at the beginning, I was like, okay, this is going to be good. This is interesting. Right. I'm kind of feeling this. And now I'm a little let down.
Well, this is kind of the theme of this season. And we've talked about this before of like, they haven't really been creative with what they got. We just have side by side seasons. Like, this is to me the same as if Katie and Michelle.
Oh yeah, right.
Like, I actually thought about it last night, even with Gabby going first and then Rachel going second in the rose ceremony. It was like, oh, we're just getting Katie and Michelle's seasons
combined,
but at
in
the
one.
Same time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's like, I guess I don't mind change, but they just, you can't half do it.
This
it feels
is too
like
much.
They half did it. Right.
Yeah. Too much as in like they didn't give enough.
Right. They didn't do enough. Like go wild. Let's do a Rachel episode. We've talked about this before. Like, let's have some different types of group dates. Let's have them go on double dates. Let's see them in different scenarios, and so we can get to know them. I don't know how these shows are here to be reality, but also to create drama for us to want to watch. I don't know if we want to watch any of the drama that they've created, because they've created none.
None at all. I mean, and do we know if we are getting two episodes for hometowns? Like, is it going to, or are we getting eight hometowns next week or seven?
Well, seven. We're going to go to
seven
different
in one
houses?
2 hours?
I guess. I mean, I'd be okay with that.
Thinking about
Like, is he just going to go around the whole country? Like, how did they, or do we invite everyone to the cruise ship? Is everyone's family going to come on like it's visiting day at summer camp?
I bet. I mean, I couldn't tell. Actually, no, it looks like in the previews that they were at homes.
Right. Yeah, but it's just, you're right. How are we going to get to every family having its moment where they're like, I don't know about this one. Right. Like, I don't know.
They need to split it up.
So we start with Gabby on a one-on-one. I mean, this was our drama. Gabby, I guess I understand. Gabby invites Nate out to be like, I guess I didn't see it as a breakup date, but that's what it became.
Do you think she knew that she was breaking up with him? Like, do you think that's what her goal was the whole time, was let's invite Nate and then this is what I'm going to do it because I don't want to do it in front of everyone? Or do you think that she met up with him and then, or had that conversation with Jesse and then panicked and had to just break up with him?
What it seemed like to me was that Gabby, and this happens in relationships, talk me out of it, right? You know, where you say, you know, anytime you're in an argument with your significant other, you go, talk me out of why I shouldn't feel this way. Make me feel better. Make me feel comforted. And she sits with Nate and they have kind of like, it looked like they walked around for an hour and she was like, okay, I got to bring this up. I'm not ready to be a mom. And then Nate just like stares at her. And it's not like Nate was like, don't worry about that. You're going to meet my, you know, my daughter. And it's felt to me that Gabby was looking for an allowance to go forward without being the bad guy if she takes a step back.
Okay.
And she really didn't get that.
No, he didn't. He didn't give that to her. He was basically, I mean, he didn't say much, but because he didn't say anything, he essentially was like, okay, well, yeah, you're probably right.
Right. Like,
you got a point.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, she's like, I'm not ready to be a mom. It's like he could have said, there's a million things he could have said of like, I wasn't ready to be a dad, or, you know, I'm here with you for 6 weeks. It's not that hard. Like,
yeah.
I took 6 weeks off from, you know, being a dad. You know, there's another mom in the picture. Here's who you're going to meet. Like, there's ways to comfort someone that if you're like, I know. And it is what people don't like to hear is that, and it's a two-way street on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and we've seen that this season.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's, you know, when Gabby says, I want to date you, and the guy goes, well, I'm here to date Rachel, people get mad at that guy or they feel bad. But it's like, you know, this is another example of like, it's a two-way street, right? What did you think?
I thought it was a very real breakup again. I think everything with Gabby is very real and genuine. But I agree with you. I think you're right. She was looking for that, hey, no, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Like, sort of like she wanted him to talk her into letting him stay, I guess.
Right. And us as two people with no kids, we also can't look at Nate and tell him what to say. So, like, Nate has the right to go to kind of opt out. And I don't think he opted out like in a way that was mean, but you know, it's like when you're long distance, like, oh, the distance is in the way. And then and then one person's like, we can make it through anything. And you go, oh, you think so? You know, so like it did kind of feel like there was that missing of someone just being like,
we got
this.
Come on,
we're on we got this. We're on a TV show. This is our next step. You know,
like, nobody was had the positive outlook on it.
Right.
And, so it kind of had to end.
And I don't know. Every time Gabby said, I'm not ready to be a mom, it you know what it felt like? It felt like when someone talks about their parent and they don't say my mom. You're like, well, that's it.
Well, mom said.
Right. No, your mom said. Like every time, like I wanted Gabby, like every time Gabby said, I'm not ready to be a mom, I was just like, it was too much.
There's plenty, like, but this really affected her. I mean, throughout the entire, it felt, I mean, she went back and essentially had a therapy session with her other five boyfriends after she broke up with one of them. And it felt like it carried out through the rest of the time a little bit.
Well, you know, we all know that she doesn't have a good relationship with her own mom. Mm-hmm. That's part of her whole story. I can understand. It is so strange to watch people like do their own psychology on the show. Like, it is strange for her to be like, and as you know, my mom and I don't get along, so I'm not ready to be a mother. And you're like, I don't think you should be talking about that with us.
Yeah,
you
know? Like, I don't think we're the ones. Right. They're like, we are looking for a mother.
Right.
Because I'm 25 and I didn't clean my room before I left.
Right. So, these men need moms.
You've already signed up to be raised.
Right. Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. So we go to Rachel's one-on-one. What did you think of Rachel's one-on-one?
I'm sorry, but Zach gives me the ick. I mean, to new levels. Everything he says, I don't believe it.
Right.
And everything is so cheesy. Everything is so, it feels scripted. He's like, wow, I can't believe we're here. Like, I feel like I'm falling in love with you and everything's so perfect and it doesn't feel genuine because you see Gabby and her and how they're speaking to each other, and then you have Zach come in and he's just saying all these buzzwords and Rachel's eating it up.
It is very, how old's Rachel? Is she?
Rachel's Zach in her 20s.
Zach is 25. Zach looks sometimes like he's 36 and speaks like he's like been through 1,000 years of life, and you're like, Zach is 25, and I agree with you. That's why I don't.
She's 26.
She's 26. He's 25. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it is interesting. You're right, because you go from Gabby's date, which feels 30s, mm-hmm, to Rachel's date, which feels romanticized 25, 26. You know, they kept saying bucket list, bucket list. Going to a flower patch in Amsterdam is not on my bucket list. I'm sorry.
I think I had that on like my Pinterest board in high school. Like that.
Right. I don't even know when like I saw them at the tulip, you know, field, and I was like, this is the type of date I'd be like, what do we do now? Like, I would look at it and I would go, cool. We took a picture. Do we just walk through this? Like, I would have, like, I'd be annoying to go on
that
date.
Well, luckily they had a hot tub waiting for them.
Right, after they shopped the flea market run by one family, you know, and they go to the cheese booth, they go to the, you know, the wooden shoes, they go to the lemonade stand. It is all, like, it is interesting that this show... This is standard Bachelor, Bachelorette date. But having Gabby be like, I'm not ready to be a mom before this happens, you're like, what are these two doing? You know, like, this is not real.
They're on, like, their little fake honeymoon. And, I mean, again, that's fine. That's a cool experience. But also, what do you do now? And then I just don't believe anything Zach says. It just feels very cheesy and planned out, like, very buzzwordy.
It sounds like he's saying what he's supposed to say. I mean, like, yes, when he had that, when they have the date after the flower patch, so they do the flowers, they go to the hot tub, and they have this, like, you know, this idea that they're like, oh my God, this is incredible. Then they go and have dinner in this museum, and Zach brings up that he was severely overweight because he was 85 pounds heavier from a long-term relationship. And you go, wait, and you start doing the math on everything, and it doesn't make sense. You're 25, so you were in a relationship at, what, 23? That after, you know, and then for a year, you gained 85 pounds. And now I'm thinking of him plus 85. I'm like, that's my weight. And now I'm like, am I severely overweight? Like, I don't buy that he was this, like, you know, like, whenever someone says they're, like, the thing is, The Bachelor, we understand that, like, your story gets told if there's a struggle. So everyone thinks they have to have some sort of struggle.
Yeah, you have
to. If you're going to tell the I gained 85 pounds story, I need the pictures. And we already saw pictures of him from his childhood during the montage.
Didn't
remember
see
that? They had the movie theater. Where was the picture then? Where's the 85 pound picture?
Yeah. I want to know, what are your thoughts on... I feel like through all of Bachelor history, the conversation topics are only about how I feel about you, how you feel about me. It's never anything with depth or actually getting to know each other. How do you feel about that? Because I'm asking how you feel about it. But what are your thoughts on it? Because I've found myself getting very... I'm at my wit's end with it, because just them talking about their feelings when they don't know each other. It's like, I want you to talk about more than just,
I know
you make me feel.
It's almost like because I revealed something, we are now closer.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like they sit on the therapist's couch for each other. And again, to bring up therapy, like, you know, Zach says, I went to therapy, and he's like so proud of himself for telling someone that. And you're like, okay, did you go once? Do you have a relationship with this therapist? Like, I understand therapy is a nice thing, but, like, it does feel buzzwordy, like you're saying. Like, it just feels like they're trying to unlock the code of, look, I'm an open person, by saying things that are considered open by the general public. Like, you know, like, there's so many memes right now about going to therapy, men going to therapy, that you go, okay, well, now that we know the punchline, we know the joke, that he knows he should say that and he'll get credit for it. So it feels like you're, like, getting credit for just saying things as opposed to, like, getting to know one another.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, and yeah, and I think it just adds too much fluff to everything, because then it's a competition of who feels more. Just like Tino thought, he was like, I checked all the boxes, I crushed it today. But Tyler apparently said sweeter things, because none of them are actually talking about real they're not talking about real topics. It's just like, who can say nicer things?
Yeah, to jump ahead, Tyler literally gets, you know, the rose because he's like, I like you.
Yes.
I'll do anything you say. And you're like, okay, what's going on here? Like, but also, this also plays to who Rachel is on the show. Mm-hmm. Rachel's playing the part of the Bachelorette. Gabby seems to be playing herself. Like, you can't help but compare their two stories. And it's also, I don't think it's Rachel's fault. It's a thing of age. Like, what do you have to talk about? Like, if I'm Zach, I'm 25, he's probably in a job that he doesn't really like. He's not sure if he's going to stay in it. That's why he took all this time off to go on a TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's been in one relationship post college, and then he's saying that he gained weight, which is what you have. It's what you do post college. You get out of college and you stop caring about having abs anymore. So you go to the gym less and you eat more fun food and you have a couple extra dollars to be able to spend on a couple of beers and go to a brunch. So that's why you gain weight. It's not like and he turns it into this whole sad sap story that we all have to like sit around for. So I don't know. Yeah, I think it's an age thing more than anything. Like, I think there's a reason one's talking about being a mom and the other's talking about this is our bucket list. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
So then we had Gabby's group date.
Right. Which I thought was so okay. I think it's fun. I am liking Gabby more and more because I see her on these dates and she's genuinely having fun. I think I would have a great time with Gabby. I think Gabby and I would actually be friends.
I do too. I think you guys would get along. I like that Gabby likes making people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even when they usually run towards her, I remember during her group date, they walk towards her and she's like standing awkwardly. She looked like a puppet that like had the strings getting cut off of her. And she's like, come to mama. And then she brings them on this like red light district sex date. And you can see like she's enjoying making them squirm a little bit.
Squirm. Oh, and the questions were great. Like,
yes.
First of all, the safe words.
I mean, to me, this stuff gets you to know them more than anything. Like, how much can they play along? Are they involved? Mm-hmm. Are they like, you know, like Jason looks the most uncomfortable at all.
Oh my God. He wanted to die that whole time.
Right. And I kind of like Jason more for that. Like, to me, that's kind of what Gabby is looking for, is like someone to like play the background to her like awkward dance.
Yeah, I could see that, but I still think she needs someone that's gonna play a little bit more than, because she plays so much. I think he might be too reserved, because if sex is a big thing and maybe she's mm-hmm. into this kind of stuff, is he going to?
Well, the one they kept mentioning was Spencer. They're like, Spencer looked, they're like,
oh yeah,
they basically were like, Spencer's a military guy, this is outside of his wheelhouse. And it's like, I listened to the men in this scenario, like, you know, they didn't mention Jason, they mentioned Spencer, who's like 7 feet away. He's like social distancing with one of the flowers while she was sitting in the chair. You're like, oh, this might be like the thing that he's like, I don't really do this well.
Huh, which to me is weird because I've slept with plenty of military guys and it was fine. I've not had
They didn't have an issue with safe words with you?
No. No issue.
They were all they were okay. They're
but
saluting
like
in
that,
bed.
I liked that they asked one of the questions that they asked, it was like, Johnny, he said, how many people have you slept with? More than 10? And then, you know, you see his face and she's like, more than 20? And then they kept going. Right. And then he says it's safer. I think it was like cantaloupe or something. I don't know. But I think that's so fun. Like getting to know these guys and being comfortable, because that's.
Right. It's almost like there hasn't been enough of that to push people to a little bit of an extreme.
Like
walking around a town isn't enough. We need the woman with the whip looking at them being like, give me your safe word now, bitch. You know, like, we need that.
And then they're laying on these like little tortillas on the ground.
Right.
Which was like strange. And then Gabby just going around whipping them in the stomachs.
Yeah. And you can tell like Gabby's a little awkward. Like Gabby like going around like just with the whips and it makes you like Gabby. And then they leave that part of the date and they come back to the drama of the night is that Logan has COVID. They explained Logan having COVID as if they found his wife and kids on the internet. And
right.
it was like a, you know, it was weird, right?
Because Jesse didn't. So Jesse told Gabby, but then when he went to go tell the guys, he didn't tell the guys that Logan had COVID. He just said there's been a situation.
Right.
He didn't say this is what happened. He just said there's been a situation. It has to do with Logan. Drama was high.
Also, why does first of all, aren't they all exposed? I don't know what are we careful or are we not careful? I don't know what's going on.
So the guys got to hang out at the, downstairs and talk to each other and whatnot, but Gabby had to be locked in her room?
Right. Why not have that date? Like, I don't understand. And then is Logan gone? Is he just done?
Okay, so I had to go back. So I went back this morning and had to watch like a few random spots that I was confused on. So Logan is gone. So Logan
just didn't get a rose and they just didn't keep him at the ceremony.
Yeah. Because he got COVID. It's like, wait 5 days. You're going to be, wait 5 days. Keep test him. Unless she really just didn't care enough.
I guess not, and I guess because he switched sides, but also give us a goodbye with Logan, put him behind a window, as if he's in quarantine. Anything. Like, give us something. It got very confusing.
I was really confused because I was like, oh shit, is Logan there? Or is he going home? And then they said they were like, Logan's not here anymore because of COVID. So Logan is not on the show anymore.
And he was like a major character. And I think maybe that's what we're both feeling is like we had this like major player who didn't get to get played. It's like this big chess piece and they just like tossed it off the board.
It was like he was just disqualified and we didn't get any details about it.
It kind of messes with the show in the sense that like, did she ever care about him at all? She cared about Nate, obviously, but then it's like, how much do you care about any of these guys if one of them can just suddenly disappear?
And leave without any, because I think if she really liked him, she would have been like, well, keep him on the boat. We're not going, we're here on this cruise ship. So he can have his own floor. So keep him on the boat and then test him until he's negative.
There's enough room on this boat for a whole city to stay on a floor. Jesse Palmer also talks to Gabby and she's like, I'm not ready to meet these. He's basically like, are you ready to meet these people's parents? And she's like, and then he's like, well, I guess I'll see you at the rose ceremony. Think about it. I'll give you another hour. What's going on here?
I love how annoyed Gabby was when Jesse comes to her room. He was like, hey, sorry to stop by and announce. She's like, yeah. She literally says, yeah. And he goes, do you mind if I come in? Sure.
Yeah.
You could tell she was pissed.
She's like, something is up right now.
She was not ready for that. And I feel so bad. To me, the saddest part about it is that she was in full glam and then she had to just stay
ready
in her
to
room.
Go. Ready to go.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
So we had Rachel's group date, which was the cheese date. Felt very classic Bachelor. Go to the town, be amongst the townspeople. You're going to do a weird game that they claim to do on a yearly basis, and you happen to be there on the day. So they're having like the king of cheese of this town that's outside of Amsterdam. What did you think of this date?
I mean, I thought the date was dumb, but it was fun. Like, it was a fun, silly date. Obviously, you could see the guys with their shirts off. I don't know. I don't think it really, the fact that this date, the way they judged it or whatever was, so whoever could hold the most got the I guess, got the extra time with her.
The king of cheese. Yeah. But and then didn't get the rose.
But then didn't, right. And then didn't get the rose. So right. It's like, so what did they compete for? So Tino won and he was like, you know, I nailed this, and then doesn't get the rose later, but he gets extra time with her. I just don't.
It also, I mean, in addition to that, it felt like their first date, not the date before hometowns. That was the probably the, like, this didn't feel like date, the penultimate thing before we decide whose families we're going to meet.
Right. It felt too silly. Like, we needed something a little more, not serious, but. I guess I don't know.
Maybe
serious.
We didn't know them enough leading into this. Like, also, Rachel bowed out of a date. This is only her second group date. Like, she didn't do the last one.
I have to look it up. There was a tweet where this girl, okay, 9 dates were canceled, 6 canceled rose ceremonies, 4 major rejections, 1 switcheroo, and a case of COVID.
Really? That's crazy.
I don't know if this is real, but it feels like it's real. Like, Rachel hasn't had...
Right.
Any, like, I remember every dates. Like,
Rachel's had more one-on-one dates than group dates, it felt like. Yeah. Like that guy Ethan. Ethan was there. Ethan is the type of character that would be there, have fun, kind of glue guy for the house. You could see that he was friendly with everybody, but like, I don't think she spoke to Ethan for more than 4 minutes.
I don't think, and the fact that Ethan would even slightly think that he would have an opportunity at hometowns when he's the only, I think all the guys from Rachel's side had one-on-ones except for Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't get a one-on-one, and she chose Zach for a second one and before choosing Ethan. How did he make it this far?
I just think sometimes the show works out that way. Like, the show works out where, like, you only have to get rid of so many people, and then you just get, you know, you have Meatball. You have a guy that you've dubbed Meatball who came back on the show that you're like, okay, I guess I'll get rid of him. And that's the thing, you know? So I don't know. The date was fine, but it just felt like we were on episode 2, not episode, mm-hmm. you know, 3rd to last. But so then we go to the cocktail ceremony. Hometowns are next week. Gabby chooses 3 guys and Rachel chooses 4. Gabby is Eric, Jason, Johnny, which all makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those to me make sense. Like, Spencer, I knew was not coming.
Well, they basically, Gabby could have started the whole season by going, hey, everyone over 6'4", stay. You're going to get to the end. Because these are just tall guys.
Tall guys. But I also wasn't expecting Johnny to be going to hometowns. He was a character that was unlocked last week.
Yeah.
His sim was created last week.
Right.
And he's going to hometowns. And something that I've just realized with a lot of these guys, I've noticed it the most with Avon. Mm. When Avon and Rachel were talking and they're talking about hometowns, and I'm like, I don't think these guys actually care. Like, I don't think Avon gives a shit.
Right.
It does feel
there's a lack of urgency to all of mm-hmm. this.
And a lack of urgency,
There's also, that might be because they all know who they like. Like, the one thing that when you talk to some of these, and you've talked to a bunch of former Bachelor contestants, they do say, like, you know who's in the game and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a point. Like, I would say with Rachel, like, the Tino Zach thing, that feels like that. Like, I guess Tyler talks like he likes Rachel, but I don't think of Rachel liking Tyler. Avon and Rachel does have a lack of urgency. It feels like they're dating more than there's this, like, created love story. But Tino and Zach, like, are we watching this for a showdown of those two?
Yeah. I don't know. And then you have the Tino meltdown. Mm-hmm. And that rubbed me the wrong way, because then it made me think that Tino is caring more about the competition with, like, the mm-hmm. words he was using. It mm-hmm. was like, I checked all the boxes. Or I crushed today. But in what aspect? Like, this isn't mean like you're in a, like, I don't know. It didn't sound very relationship.
It was a strange reaction. And it, the one thing I'll say, it did sound like a guy who's used to being liked by women. Like, that's never really competed with someone else for a date, is what I kept thinking. Because, like, I don't think he's come across, like, Zach and Tino kind of look like different sides of a Tinder swipe, right? Like yeah. They would both be on a dating app, and you'd be fine going out with either of them. Like, yep. they would kind of be interchangeable, you know, similar looks. And then, and it just felt like Tino has never come across a woman who's like been like, well, there's might be another guy.
Especially his reaction. That was like when she said, when Tyler got the rose and then Rachel left, his instant reaction was congrats, seriously. And then leaves.
Right.
Congrats. Like, as if, again, as if like it's a trophy. Mm-hmm. But I also think Rachel's mindset and her strategy, I don't think she's actually thinking about strategy, but the way she gives these roses out, it's like the last thing she hears is the most prominent.
Right.
So right, she just spoke to Tyler, so she has a Tyler high right now.
Right.
So she's going to give it to him.
I mean, she kisses everybody. I don't think there's a problem with that, but, you know, she has a moment with Ethan, they kiss, and you go, oh, is that, you know, I guess if someone says the right thing, if you just say therapy, give me a kiss.
She's,
you know,
like, I don't know. Ding, ding, ding.
Let's go to the categories. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's play some Would You Rather.
All right. Would you rather have to reveal your body count on national television or get COVID on national television?
I mean, I would rather reveal the body count, because I don't want someone going, like, the worst part about getting COVID on national television is having someone go, like, having that random person going, have you quarantined? Have you left your apartment? Like, based on their own rules, because everyone seems to have their own rules and their own timeline. So you'd have to hear from, like, everyone with their own version of what they think is morally correct for COVID. So I would rather tell. And if it became a body count, I would just be like, I'd be like 40. I would just say a number. Like,
just say a number. Lie. Nobody's going to know.
Right. No one's going to know. No one's going to keep me to it. What would you do?
I think I would do the same, because I think the biggest thing about getting COVID on television is, like, the shame that goes with it. It's like, you get sent home, you have to get quarantined, everybody is like, the group date gets canceled. So it's like a lot of shame that comes with getting that, and I don't want that. I'd rather just say it.
It's funny that there's less shame for fucking 50 people than there getting COVID, but that's where we are, you know? I had having a lactose intolerance on a cheese tasting date or COVID on a cruise ship.
Oh my gosh. I think again, I would do the lactose intolerance on a cheese date. Take a little pill.
I agree.
Take a pill. Go, run to the bathroom. What?
Have you been on a cruise?
I worked on cruise ships.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You worked on cruise ships. So you know, if you had to quarantine in a room that has three stations and no window for a week, and then they like drop a food tray at your door, I would much rather eat all the cheese in Amsterdam and shit my pants for 7 months than to have to get quarantined on a cruise ship.
I had to do that once. It's the cruise, like, sickness. It's essentially like a stomach virus. It's called norovirus. Yeah. I had that, and I was in my cabin for like 5 days straight. I had a little porthole, but my cabin is like the size of like a 2x2 little square. And
what did you do?
Ill. Nothing. I just watched TV. I watched TV. I paid way too much for internet, because I had to pay for the internet. But like, that's all I did. And I shit my brains out like every 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'd rather. It's like it's a choice between shitting your brains out in public or shitting your brains out in a 2x2 room that you can't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's, and again, the shame with the getting COVID on a ship, that fucks right. everything up for well, everyone.
You're like a leper. You get known as the COVID person mm-hmm. on the ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fantasy suite, hometown, or send home.
All right, so
someone, I'll read. Here are the three people.
All right,
you have someone who refuses to get TSA pre-check. You have someone who refers to themselves as a dog mom or dad. You have someone whose whole personality is based on their favorite sports team. Who do you send Ooh. Home? Who do you send to hometowns? Who do you send to fantasy?
I feel like you're immediately sending home the TSA pre-check.
Yeah, TSA pre-check, get out of here.
You fly you just, way too much. I
you're gone.
I see your travel
sending
journeys.
You home. Not doing this.
I knew that. Yes. What are your other two?
Dog mom or dad, I'm going to bring to hometown. Because I would assume they'd be good with families. Mm-hmm. A little embarrassing, but they'd be good with families. And I would assume someone who says they're a dog mom or dad isn't good in bed just yeah. by nature of that. They're a little bit anal retentive. They're a little bit stuck on labels. They're not very loose. The person whose personality trait is their favorite sports team. Like, I don't have that association with them. So I would send them to fantasy suites.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I think I would do maybe the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm aligned with mm-hmm. with you on this. I think the person whose personality is based on their favorite sports team. Yeah. Like, let's just hook up. Maybe they'll be competitive in bed and like we can like role play and like they can
right.
be.
They like competition.
You know, the Red
they
Sox like competi- and yeah. I can be.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever team is like opposite.
Right. No, at least they're competitive. At least there's, you know, hustle.
Hustle. There's something. There's some drive. There's goals.
Right.
All right. Who's your top two guys for each? Or top guy for each?
Zach, because he matches Rachel's cheesiness. And I do think Jason, because I think there's something about Gabby that makes me believe she's looking for a guy who will giggle in the background. But that's my assumption. But well, mm-hmm. who did you have?
Jason was my second choice, but I said mm-hmm. I said Zach. I do think mm-hmm. Rachel's going to end up picking Zach. But I think Eric is a great choice for Gabby. He's like slightly a little more bad boy, mm-hmm. but still fun. Like he seemed like a lot of fun on that sex date.
We haven't seen him in forever.
No, we haven't seen him since the Grandpa Joe date.
Right. That's crazy. That feels like it's 8 years ago. So yeah. he got along with Grandpa Joe. So who do you have on Instagram? Whose rising star is on Instagram?
I thought it was going to be Nate. I thought it was going to be Nate because I was like, okay, this guy, we had the heartbreaking story. It's mm-hmm. going to be another like Michael A. from Katie's season
sure.
kind of an arc. But then I don't know if you've seen all this, but all this stuff came out about him. About
no.
So Nate is low-key been relationship canceled. He isn't anything bad, but so apparently he was dating a girl before he came on the show for a while, for like a year or something. Mm-hmm. They broke up plenty before the show, but he did not disclose that he had a child. And the girl found out that he had a kid on when he was on the show.
Oh, my God. How like, long were they dating for?
I think they dated for like a year and a half. I think that's what.
A year and a half and he didn't tell her that he had a kid? So they weren't really dating. I mean, like, you're not even yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing about Gabby is she kept saying how great of a dad that Nate was. And How do you like, I understand it's easy to say that, but you've never seen him with his kid. You've never mm-hmm. seen, you know, I don't doubt.
The other girl didn't either.
Right. No one's seen him with a kid. Right.
So wow, that's yeah. So all that came out. I'm pretty sure it was a year and a half. I'd have to go back and check for sure. But like, it was a significant amount of time. And she didn't know that he had a kid until it was mentioned on the show. She saw that he was going on the show. And
can you imagine you're watching the show and you go, wait, he's the dad character? Like, you had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, I didn't have any of them. I don't want to follow any of these people, but I don't know them enough to follow them. Like, there's not one of them that I've been like, I got to see what they do next.
Yeah.
On this thing.
I don't care.
I don't care. I guess the only person I care about is Gabby.
I don't even follow Gabby, which is weird. I follow Rachel because her and I spoke here and there during Clayton's season. So Rachel and I follow each other, but I don't follow Gabby. But I went and looked at her profile last night, and it's actually very funny. She is very... Do you follow her?
No. What does she do?
She has very funny captions. Like, she makes fun of herself. So there was a picture that she posted, and she was like, me looking for one more yeah, totally to give. Or
so she's in on the joke.
Yeah, she's in on the joke. She gets it. But all the guys, the second the TV turns off and Claim to Fame comes on,
right,
it's over for me.
It's over
for you. First of all, Claim to Fame is an amazing show.
Really?
I'm starting a podcast on Claim to Fame.
I mean, the Jonas Brothers coming in with another hit.
It's so good. It's all these like random people and they all have fake names and they're in a house and essentially they have to eliminate each person by guessing who their celebrity relative is. By all, getting all these clues. And so they all fake yeah. names, so you can't tell. It is so good. And the celebrity relatives are like legit.
I've seen that they're legit. Like, what's the biggest celebrity? Like
Zendaya was one of them.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm giving it all away. But yeah, Zendaya's one of them. Brett Favre is one of them. His daughter was on it. It is a great show.
And so it's not, I thought it was a dating show. So it's not to date them, it's to guess.
No, it's like a game show and they're like all trying to guess who each other's celebrity relative is. And that's how each person has to leave the house each week if their celebrity relative is guessed.
I love it.
I'm obsessed.
Of course the Jonas Brothers are involved with that. So who is the villain of the week? Not on Claim to Fame, but on this show.
I think it was COVID. I think that.
Right.
I think it kind of just I totally agree with what you were saying is how it was handled was very strange. It's like, okay, right. So we're canceling the cocktail party, but Gabby has to stay in her room, but all the guys can hang out downstairs.
Right. This show is so afraid of losing. They are playing prevent defense. This show is so afraid of losing viewership.
Yeah.
They are in the last days of... I think the show could go on forever, but it needs creativity. But they're so afraid of being creative. And it's the same with the COVID stuff. They're so afraid of touching COVID that they're afraid that someone in middle America is going to go, well, it doesn't matter to me. Or someone on the coast is going to go, you're not taking it seriously enough. And so they did nothing with it. It's a metaphor for the whole show.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like if all the guys are going to be down there and you're going to be talking to them being like, yeah, we have to cancel the cocktail party. It's like, well, at least like Gabby come down and like.
Right.
They be there so for 2 seconds.
They are so afraid of making anyone mad that they make nothing entertaining. And you have to make someone mad to be entertaining. And this show basically took a middle road, which was to do nothing. And it felt weird. Like, you know, I agree. The villain of the week is COVID. I had cheese written, but. You're right. It's totally COVID. Who do you got going
totally
to paradise?
COVID. Wait, who did you? Oh, you had cheese.
Yeah, cheese.
You had cheese. I have Logan going to paradise. I think we have to see him now because
right. We need an ending.
We didn't get a goodbye. We have to have something. So I think Logan's going to come back and we're going to see him in paradise because he was stripped away from us as a main character. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess I didn't put him because I was like, you just like you
He'll
said,
still
like
COVID by
gone,
then.
Right. He's just gone. He's COVID, long COVID. I had Gabby. I just don't think Gabby ends up on Paradise in another season, in some iteration. Like she
I
just,
agree.
I don't see her. I see her getting a boyfriend, not a husband. I see them breaking up at some point, and then her being kind of hovering around this universe as like weird Gabby. Like I don't like that's kind of how I see her.
We haven't had many like successful bachelor relationships recently. It's hard to think that anybody's going to be coming out and actually get what they were looking for.
I mean, a boyfriend would be nice for Gabby. It seems like that's what she wants, but I don't think any of these tall guys are going to do it for her. What did you have for Cringe Harrison Award winner?
I had Tino's like congrats. That little like that right. snide comment was just so it put such a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't personally love Tino. I think he comes off very controlling. Like he would be very controlling.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, he also does have this air of like I deserve this that you
yes.
brought up a yeah,
very entitled.
Yes, he has an entitlement thing going on.
Yeah,
I had how COVID was treated. The way yeah. they came in when Jesse came in and was like, "We have a situation," and the music changed. It's like, yeah, a guy has the sniffles and he's watching Netflix in another room.
Like he was just on a sex date like right. 3 hours ago. Like
right, we just saw him licking a flower. Like he'll be okay. Yeah.
Now
like,
I'm curious. How often they test everybody? Like what is their process now? Now I have
it
to know
seems
because
like three times a day, maybe every time they go back on the ship.
Yeah, it seems like and I wonder if could it have been a false positive? Like no, they must have tested him multiple times for them to make this decision of like you can't
right.
be here.
It only makes production harder. They're not gonna do anything that makes production harder if they don't have to.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. It was really, he just disappeared. It was like Willy Wonka. And
and this sort of goes into your rose. So who got your rose?
My rose goes to Logan. I think he won just to get out of there. Like we didn't have to have, they were setting him up as a villain. He kind of escapes being a villain. He gets to be forgotten about. He's in the Bachelor universe. We're talking about him being on Paradise. Like, he needs an ending. People are going to wonder, and he doesn't come off as the bad guy.
Yeah, so low-key, he has an ideal ending because I guess the goal, really, other than quote-unquote finding love, is to make it as far as you can,
yes.
become as memorable as possible, and get out unscathed with no commitment, no relationship, but still have that, like... Oh, I know who they are. I want to follow them, etc.
It was like when Daughtry got axed from... This is a very old reference, but Daughtry got
like,
axed from American Idol before they went to the final eight. So he didn't have to do the contract with American Idol so he could go out on his own. So there is a high point of when to leave this show.
Yeah.
There is a way to leave. I mean, like the person who's most famous for the best leave from the show is Tyler Cameron.
I was just about to say, agreed.
Right. Tyler Cameron had the perfect exit. The perfect exit is to want to commit, get dumped, and then go on your way. To be the person who wanted to commit and then got dumped is the perfect way for a man to leave this show. So Logan kind of has that and kind of half has that.
Yeah, I mean, he made it far enough. He was truly the main character.
Yeah.
And because I think if he would have stayed on longer, let me know if you feel the same, but if he would have stayed on longer, he would have had a villain at like a straight up, something would have,
right.
drama would have happened.
I absolutely agree. Like, and as, you know, the social media stuff, everyone's come out. Oh, Logan dates everyone in San Diego. He dates everyone in San Diego. The longer you stay, the more trouble it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Who got your rose?
Gabby's glam that wasn't seen. Man, I don't know if it's because I'm a girl, but I felt for her so bad when Jesse walked into the room and she was clearly annoyed knowing mm-hmm. something was up. But I mean, she was fully dressed, heels on, like yeah. ready to walk out the door.
Ponytail.
Pop ponytail. It. The extensions were in the.
Yep.
And he was like, sorry, you got to stay here. He, as he was leaving, he goes, get some rest. You're like, yeah, I'll be sleeping in this full glam because it just took an hour and a half.
Right.
I'm going to take some selfies first.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's where who got my rose.
Bathroom mirror selfies.
Like, it, and it's in a cruise ship bathroom. Like, your mirror is like this big.
Well, we head to hometowns. Hometowns is my favorite part of the show. I love seeing the families. I'm excited.
I know. See, and I think we know so little about these guys that seeing their families might make us like them more.
Totally agree.
Or less. Who knows?
At least there'll be more to make fun of. That's all we can promise.
And I'm still curious. I truly don't know. Is it going to be in two episodes or is it going to be in one?
I'm hoping one. Let's just bang it out at this point. We got to get to football season.
Jesse Palmer's going to be like, it's actually going to be a three hour episode of seven yeah. hometowns. My eyes are going to be like rolling.
We're going in a bus across the country on an RV to see these families. But
yeah, that's what it feels like. Okay. Well, we will be back next week. Make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. If you are listening to us and want to share it, put it on your Instagram story, tweet about it, share the episodes with us, and you can follow me at K York City.
I'm at Jared Freed.
And we will see you next week.
The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and at Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.